Hi, this is Dr. Stephanie Wigner, your podcast host. I'm a speaker, a chiropractor, a business coach, and a multiple seven-figure entrepreneur. I'm committed to helping wellness practitioners just like you build the business and the life of their dreams. Together, we'll dive into increasing profit, hiring the right team, and buying back your time so that your life can begin to prosper. Learn how I'm increasing my wealth and building a legacy without sacrificing those that I'm building it for. This is the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Hello, beautiful people. I am so excited to welcome you to another episode of The Wealthy Practitioner. Today is a beautiful Sunday. I have spent the morning at the beach with my family and I just put my son down for a nap. So I was like, it's a perfect time to come on and do another podcast. So I know last time we talked, I wanted to share with you guys a little bit about how I went from one clinic to two clinics in 15 months. Most of you have heard this story about how I opened my first office in a small 600 square foot space. And so what happened was after deciding to leave my associateship, I found a chiropractor that was wanting to retire. And essentially, he wanted to sell his practice. I think it was listed on our state website for like $15,000. And I started diving into the financials and I was like, well, I don't really know if it's worth $15,000. He had some equipment, but he didn't really have the financials to back that up. He also didn't really have the patient flow to back up that price. When we started looking at what I was actually getting for the price, it was like bare minimum, right? What he was really wanting to do, he was maybe seeing patients 5 hours a week, nothing crazy, super, super part-time. And he just wanted to get out of his lease. He didn't want to have to commit to his lease. I think there was 2 years left on it. So that's why he wanted to sell the practice. He was retired. He was wanting to spend his days fishing. When I came across it, I was like, look, it's a great location that I want to be in. I really like that there's been a chiropractor here for 30 years. That way, if somebody is looking for a new chiropractor, it'll make sense for them to reach out to a location that maybe they had seen in the past. There were other practitioners in there. There was a mental health therapist, an acupuncturist, a dentist. In this tiny little building, I was like, this is great. This is a perfect place to start. There was two treatment rooms, a small little waiting area, and a room for a front desk. So going back and forth, negotiating what I was actually going to pay, I think it ended up being like less than $8,000. And part of that was me putting a deposit on the space to lease the space. I decided at the time, like, hey, I'm basically starting from ground zero. I'm not going to assume any patients are coming over with me. He had maybe 200 addresses total. Like I can't remember exactly, but that would have been max addresses that he had that I would have had access to. So what I did is when I got in there, there was no shadowing. There was no, you know, introducing me to his patients because again, there wasn't a lot of patients. I think he was seeing some people at their home as well. And so I just was like, okay, I'm going to get in here. I'm going to just make it known. I'm going to start catering to my ideal client, which is pediatric prenatal. That's the other thing when looking at purchasing a practice. He was in network with Medicare, which I didn't want to be. He was serving a clientele, like that older population that we don't really cater to. My specialty is in pediatrics and prenatal. And so looking back, I'm really glad that I wasn't, quote, purchasing a practice because it wouldn't have been anything that I would have been able to carry on. It wasn't setting myself up for success. It was literally the location and some furniture. What I did is when I got in there, I crafted a letter to send to the 200 addresses he had because, again, there was no electronic health records. There was no collecting email addresses. There was no marketing strategies at play that I could have continued to build upon. So I got in there, I sent a letter to 200 people and was like, hey, I'm Dr. Steph, I'm taking over. Dr. Rick is retiring. I feel so grateful to be able to step into the place where he's practiced for 30 years and get to serve clients and help them and build my name within the community. And at that time, I think I had one patient reach out of the 200 letters I sent, and she's still a patient today. Shout out to Valerie. I love you. She brings in her children and she, you know, she's been an avid chiropractic patient for years and years and years. She went to somebody else before Dr. Rick. And so now she sees me and my doctors at my clinic. It was at that time, I was probably a year in practice and my husband, then boyfriend, was considering leaving his position. And so he was making a great salary, but he just wanted to start to build his own thing. And we were like, okay, I'm doing pretty well. I can start to take over all of our personal finances. And if you remember from last episode, the goal was for me to open and him to take over our personal finances until I was on my feet. So when I had went to open my office, I just needed a couple $1,000s to be able to secure the business. And I got denied for my first loan at the bank. And so they basically laughed at me in my face. I was like, okay, my car's paid off. Yeah, I have some student loan debt. I have like $4,000 in the bank. I can use my car as collateral. And they basically were like, yeah, right. We're not giving you a loan. And so being the person that I am, I'm like, fine, I'll go to the next bank. And the next bank laughed in my face too. And so I was like, okay, I have to get creative about this. And so essentially what I did, and this is not financial advice, I feel the need to say that. This is not what's going to work for everybody, but I really was betting on myself. And I was like, okay, if I can't get a loan, I'm still going to move forward. I just have to get creative. And essentially what I did is I had enough money in the bank to, I borrowed like $2,000 from my mom. I was able to secure the deposit on the lease for the space. And then I opened the rest on credit cards. I financed some tables on a credit card. I bought a computer on a Best Buy credit card, 12 months, 0% interest. I got some decorations off Etsy and some furniture at like TJ Maxx. All of that went on a credit card. And essentially, I had 12 months to either make it or things were going to break and I was going to have to try something else. And so within those 12 months, I think I had 3 credit cards with 0% interest on them. And I was like, great, I'm going to do whatever it takes. By month 2, I was covering my overhead, which again, my overhead was super low. It was under $4,000, I think, which my clients will tell you that's something that I'm super, super passionate about is keeping your overhead as low as possible when you're just starting up so that you can become profitable as soon as possible. My overhead was super low, under $4,000. So by month 2, I had covered my overhead and by month 3, I was profitable. And so that's when I started to pay off the credit cards, really start to build up that reserve inside of the business checking account. And it was at a year that I had been open. So we were doing really well. My husband was like, okay, I want to leave my position. And my in-laws, who are about 30 minutes away from us, go to a church. It just so happens this chiropractor they know is wanting to sell his business too. So we meet with him, which was by design, by the way. He had us come to his house. He lives in a beautiful home, pool, like everything that you would want. You know, we're super young, super broke. And we're like, wow, if he built this off of his practice, it's probably a practice worth buying, right? And so we meet with him. The plan is for my husband to start to work in his clinic and then start to purchase it over time. Kyle goes back to his bosses and he says, hey, I want to put in my notice. I want to build my own clinic. We're going to purchase this clinic down in South Jersey. And they essentially were like, well, we're going to counter you and we really want you to stay. And if we make you a partner in this clinic, will you stay? And he was like, oh man. So that night we started doing all the math and we were like, oh my gosh, he can make multiple six figures if he's a partner in this clinic versus having to take over this other clinic, build it up, start from scratch. We didn't really know what we were getting into. It's kind of like opening a can of worms. And so we were like, okay, the safe bet is for him to stay with his current company and become partner. But being the nice people-pleasing people that we are, we had already told that chiropractor that we wanted to pursue moving forward. So we came back to him right away and we were like, hey, change of plans. We're not going to buy the practice. And he was like, well, I was really counting on having help in here because he was only working like part-time. So I was like, you know what? I am not at capacity. I can come and work in your clinic 2 days a week. And why don't we just try that and see how it goes? I think I was in his clinic on Mondays and Fridays. And it was like a 25, 30 minute drive away from my office in Point Pleasant. That's also what solidified the deal on us not wanting to pursue that clinic. Cause we started playing around with the idea of like, okay, should Steph just buy the clinic then and start to take that over and have two locations? But because I was in that clinic and I got to meet some of the patients and I got to see how their operations were going, it was not anything that I wanted to put my name on. It was a very different clinic, very pain-based, which is not at all how I operate. So there was a lot of modalities happening and the staff wasn't happy to be there. He didn't really want to work. There was definitely some shady things happening behind the scenes that no sooner than I was in there, I was like, yo, I'm out. I don't want my name on this. I'm really trying to build up my reputation and what I have going on and I can't be distracted by this. I can't pursue this and continue to help you when it's really not helping me. I think he was paying me maybe like $400 or $500 a day, which was good. It's just, I knew I could make more in my own clinic rather than covering for him. And after about 4 weeks of being in there and really starting to kind of look at the processes and what they were doing and talk to the staff, I was like, yeah, this isn't for me. So I'm going to move on. So I let him know like, hey, you need to look for another employee or another person to purchase your practice. It's not for us. At that point, I was just in my office then. I was back in my office Monday through Saturday. And I said to myself, okay, that was actually kind of fun working in two different clinics. I really enjoyed traveling. Like I just kind of like breaking up the week and doing something different, right? I don't love the mundane things of the same thing every day. And so I was like, okay, why don't I just look and see what it would look like if I were to open a satellite clinic? Everybody's like, were you at capacity? Like, were you already busting at the seams at your current clinic? No, I wasn't. But my overhead was so low that I definitely could afford to take on an added expense in order to justify serving a bigger population. I'm in Ocean County. I started looking in Monmouth County because I know that those were the two counties I wanted to be in. I always talk about divine intervention. I just so happened one day I was like looking through all of these listings and a little office space similar to the size that I was in was above a midwifery clinic. And this midwife clinic was already sending me a bunch of their patients. But the problem was that some of their patients were coming up north, already driving an hour to them. So to drive another 20, 25 minutes south to me was kind of not ideal for them. So I happened to see in their building, there was an opening and I was like, okay, this is crazy. I'm just going to go in there and see what the space looks like. And so I went into the space. I toured the space with a real estate agent and the deal was super amazing. It was a 2-year contract, nothing unreasonable. The owner of the building kind of takes care of everything, snow removal, all of that, which wasn't happening in my current space. And so it seemed like it would be easier than the current space I was dealing with. And I was like, you know what? I can easily afford overhead on both of these. I'm just going to move forward with it. That's how my satellite clinic got open. I then split my time in the satellite. I was there Monday, Wednesday. In my original office, I was there Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. I decided to remove Fridays because I kind of had a little bit more going on. I wanted that time and that capacity to be able to just chill and work on the business instead of in the business. I decided at that time, okay, I'm going to split up the days. I'm going to really promote in both counties and see how it goes. So I didn't have an associate. I didn't have capacity. I wasn't like busting at the seams with the volume that I was already seeing. I just had a long-term vision and I was committed to that vision. And I knew that eventually I was going to have more than one office. So if this opportunity was presenting itself, why wouldn't I jump at it, right? And I'm so glad that I did because now both clinics are super busy. Between three of us doctors, we can be at each clinic more than when I was just a solo practitioner. And we're able to be more accommodating for our clientele. So if we are full at one office and they absolutely need to get in that day, then they can go to the other location, even if it's not their ideal location or their primary location, we're still able to squeeze them in. So we really love that we can do that. One of the benefits of having two offices is we can network with other people in both of the locations, right? So the funny thing about Jersey is even though the clinics are only about 20 minutes apart from each other, most of our patients prefer one clinic over the other just based on it being close to where they live and based on where all their other practitioners are, the stores that they go to, all of that. So it's allowed us to really network with other professionals in each county. And it's also been amazing to be able to say, hey, we're above a midwife clinic. We serve pediatrics and prenatal. You're going to your midwife appointment. You might as well just come upstairs and see us as well. It's been really beautiful. It's worked out really well. So that's how two clinics came to be. I love having two clinics, knowing what your vision is, right? And maybe I've talked to clients. I have a client that the one of our first calls, you know, she said, we have a desire to have 10 clinics. And I said, great. What? Why? Why do you have that desire? I think it's really important to know what your vision is and why you have it, because then you can accomplish whatever you set your mind on. I knew very early on that I wanted a clinic specializing pediatrics prenatal. I knew that I wanted more than one location. I knew that I wanted to have a big team. And I think it's super important to know what your vision is because then you'll start to say yes to the opportunities that are presenting themselves, right? If I didn't know that eventually I wanted two clinics, there's no way I would have said yes to moving inside of that building that the midwives were in because I just wouldn't have had my eyes open to the opportunities that were in front of me. But because I knew I could take more on, I knew when the right opportunity would present itself, I could say yes and move forward. That's another thing when we talk about capacity. So often I work with a lot of moms that are managing running a clinic and being everything at home and being everything to their teams and to their patients. And so often the number one thing is like, I don't have enough time. And I totally hear that. And I totally resonate with that because there's often times when I can get in that same cycle of saying, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough time. When in reality is we're just not managing our time well, right? For me, the way that I knew that I was ready for more is that I pushed past what I was currently doing and opened myself up for more capacity. And I think that's super important. If you don't ever test your limitations, how do you know what you're capable of? So often we get stuck in our comfort zone and we're like, this is what I do. My day is so busy, but we have plenty of hours to scroll social media. We have plenty of time to zone out, right? I think that we are maybe just not using our time wisely. And I had definitely fallen prey to that too, where it's like, I don't have enough time, but then I look at my day and I'm like, well, I wasted an hour there. I wasted an hour here. So I think that we have more time, but we're not going to explore what that time looks like unless we push past capacity. And also I remember, you know, back in 2017, I already had the two clinics and I was talking to one of my friends who was my mentor at the time. And I said, I just don't know how I'm ever going to be able to do more than I already do. I don't know. Like I feel so busy. Like I don't know how I'd ever have time for a family. I don't know how I'd ever have time to bring more people on or how I'd have time to start a new business. And the version of myself today just laughs at that because I have taken on three times what I was doing at that point, but it's because I was telling myself I couldn't, right? And she was like, hey, I used to think that same way. You just have to push past what you're doing. You have to prove to yourself that you can do more. And it's not about burning out. It's not about being, you know, self-sacrificial and like not taking care of yourself. But it's also as humans, we get used to saying no or can't more than we look at exploring what's possible. If you're in a place where you're like, I just can't do more, ask yourself, is that true based on my current situation and my current circumstances? Or is that a lie and a story that I'm telling myself? Because it could go either way. I know for me, I hadn't stopped to say, hey, what else am I capable of? I wouldn't have seven businesses today. I wouldn't have four clinics combined with my husband, right? We wouldn't have this beautiful family that we're starting to build if I had never said, hey, I think I'm meant for more. And so if I can leave you with one piece of advice, it's to look at your current situation and say, am I operating at my best, at my capacity, or is there room for more? And if I do feel like I'm truly at capacity, is there something that I could remove that's truly no longer serving me anymore? I think that that's your best option. I am a huge fan of self-reflection. And so I hope you guys have an amazing day and I will see you next time. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. If you liked what I shared with you today, please rate the show and share it with your friends on social media. To connect with other practitioners just like you, join our exclusive Facebook group, The Wealthy Wellness Practitioner, where we continue the conversation about building profitable businesses. See you next week.